This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Can you pray that prayer from the depth of your soul? Let the hand of the enemy be arrested. Let the power of darkness be cut off from your marriage, from your home. Let the operations of mind-bending spirits be terminated from your heart, from your mind. If you don't help me, where else can I go? Why are you helping me?
Nowhere.
If you don't help me,
where? Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Into your field of battle. The one who has never been conquered, who had never suffered defeat, has stepped into your warfare. In this season, as we look at the subject of spiritual warfare, long-standing battles will end in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We may be seated tonight. If you have your Bible with me, can you turn to Ephesians chapter 6? We'll take our reading from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10, it said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In this passage here, Paul began to tidy up his piece in his letter to the believers at Ephesus. First of all, he began to introduce a concept to them about our posture with God. And he began by establishing the fact that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Our position with God is a position where we are at a state of rest, a posture where God undertakes to manipulate everything around your life, to manage everything around your life, to take care of everything around your life, where you don't need to worry about anything. Yours is to just sit and be relaxed because God is in control. He clarifies that as a mystery that God had opened his eyes to. A mystery that had been hidden from ages past and is now revealed. A mystery that in Christ, the first experience God gives us is the experience of rest, where God takes care of everything. And then he goes on to develop the idea further by saying, in this rest position, there are some form of responsibilities, there are some form of participation that will guarantee this posture of rest, this posture of victory, this placement where we are far above and removed from the cosmic powers of wickedness of Satan. And he says, one major thing that will guarantee that you will not lose this position of that secured place of rest is the fact that we also have a posture of walking. There is a way we must walk. That whereas our reality is seated far above principalities and powers, seated with Christ in that secured place, in the natural, there is a way we must walk to guarantee that our reality in Christ, in that seated position, will be secured there. And so he began to say that we can no longer walk like the Gentiles walk. There is a manner of lifestyle that we must possess. And in this passage where we just read, he begins to bring home his point, where he begins to say that besides the posture of sitting and the posture of walking, there's also a posture where we take a stand. And this is where the whole idea of spiritual warfare comes into the discussion. From the beginning of this year, our Father has been taking us on a journey. Please, sound engineer, can you take care of that echo? It's distracting. Thank you. Our Father has been taking us on a journey of spiritual warfare where our eyes were being opened into varying domains where this warfare occurred. We saw the domain of the mind, where we saw that there are disembodied personalities that come to engage us at the plane of our mind with arguments, with lies, in order to undermine us, in order to bring us under bondage, in order to build strongholds where we are perpetually kept in captivity. We are brought under demonic influences. And then we went ahead to look at the domain of the warfare of the body, where the enemy brings sickness, brings affliction, brings torment to our physical body in order to limit us from entering into the fullness of God according to his ordination for our destiny. Then our Father took us further into the domain of spiritual warfare in our finances. A lot we are clarifying. We looked at the concept of kingdom prosperity, the purpose, the focus, the objective of kingdom finance. And we saw how the enemy could actually bring warfare in that area of our life. And just last night, he began to take us from a couple of days ago into the domain of spiritual warfare in the family. Tonight, I want us to begin a review of some of the things we have learned so far so that we'll see how we can pray some prayer of application in the next few days. We'll pick up some of the ideas and see how we can apply them in our lives as we mobilize prayers in those regard. So tonight, very quickly, one area I want us to apply some of the lessons we have learned so far is in the area of doorways to spiritual warfare. You see, the passage where we read in Ephesians, verse 12 says, For we wrestle. That clearly established the fact and the reality that there is an ongoing war. I want to reiterate that point tonight because it's still possible that in spite of everything that we have been taught, there could be someone who is still wondering if spiritual warfare is real. Somebody might still be asking, all these things that they are talking about spiritual warfare, are you sure it is real? Are you sure it's not the natural experiences of life just being normally had and we are just trying to spiritualize it? I want you to know that this war is real. And the nature of the war is such that it's not something for you to begin to ask questions. Is there a way to avoid it? Is there something I can do to stay out of trouble? Is it possible that probably it's because we're praying and disturbing the devil, that's why he's disturbing us? What if we just leave him alone? Won't he leave us alone? Do we have to fight? The other day I was talking with my brother here and it reminded me of one proverb that our people have. The proverb is, someone has carried you into the air to smash you on the ground. While you are in the air, you are asking, are we fighting? I want you to know that this war cannot be negotiated. While you are wondering if this war is real, your foe has sworn with a bitter hatred to destroy you. While Mama was leading this prayer earlier, she made some points that our foe, our enemy, are disembodied persons. They are sentient beings. They are intelligent personalities. They are not people to joke with, and they hate you. You see, some people think that by going into covenant with Satan, whereby he can promise them a good life, gives them money, makes them prosperous in their business, Probably that will be a safe way to go, because the devil sees them as a partner. Some even sees them as his children. He sees them as his agent. They are on the same team. So, the devil will probably not hate them enough to attack them and want to cause them injury. And that will be a good motivation to join the occult. But I want you to know that the hatred of Satan against human beings is not less for a demonic agent. The devil don't hate you as a human being because you are a Christian. He hates you because you are a human being. Do you get my point? The hatred of Satan and his resolve to deploy his ancient wisdom and the venom of his wickedness to put you out is on the fact that you bear the image of God. So whether you are in the occult, whether you are a witch, whether you are a wizard, whether you are a sorcerer, because you bear the image of God, it does not in any way reduce the hatred of Satan towards you. If he gives you money, if he gives you wealth, if he gives you prosperity, it is to the end that you are fully snared, and at the end of the day, he will still destroy you. The Bible said in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that the thief does not come except to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. So just in case you think that you are a witch, you are in the occult, and you have some demons you can summon and send on errand and they do your bidding, you are clueless. They are fattening you up for destruction. They are deceiving you, waiting for you to be fully snared. By the time they are done using the vital part of your ears, they will destroy you. And when you show up in hell, those same demons will torment you even much more terrible than they do an ordinary unbeliever. In hell, they will preach to you that you had the opportunity to give your life to Christ. You rejected the righteous one. And you decided to serve them. But here there is no mercy. And they will torment you for all eternity. The hatred of Satan, it's not more against the believer and less against the unbeliever. It is not more against the righteous and then he loves the sinner, or he loves the person that is in witchcraft. Are we following tonight? Our Father in the Lord will always say that just in case you see Satan show up and taking selfie, he didn't come there to have fun. He came with an agenda that nothing can distract him from. And the agenda is to steal. The agenda is to kill. The agenda is to destroy. So this war is real. It is not a joke. And Satan is bent on actualizing this purpose. So whatever you see him putting on display is part of the warfare strategy. Just in case the devil do you favor, it is part of his warfare strategy. I don't know why God is bringing this emphasis to me tonight, because this is not what I prepared to preach. But it's like God is speaking to someone in the occult. I feel very strongly in my heart that there's someone listening to me tonight, either in the audience or following us online. You are in the occult and you are happy because there are guardian spirits around you. There are demons at your beck and call that you can send to do your bidding. If someone insults you, you can send those demons to oppress the person, to bring affliction to people. I want you to know, those demons, they don't love you. I want you to know, those demons that look like they are at your service, they are going to destroy you. And they will not show you mercy. Haven't you noticed that when men are in the occult, when the devil are done sapping the vitality of their life, they will demand that you bring a replacement, and then they will cut you off. The hatred of Satan is on man, regardless of whether you want to be his friend, whether you want to be his servant, whether you want to do his will. He will still use you and destroy you. And if you hear me tonight and you are still in the occult, you are still in partnership with darkness, tonight God brings his mercy to you. Hallelujah. This war is real. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh. We wrestle not against blood. And it's in view of this that verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. The interesting thing is this. Why is it possible that men that have been armed by God, thoroughly equipped. Please give me 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 40. 2 Samuel 22, 40. He said, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Why is it possible that a man that God has armed, a man that God had girded with strength, a people that it was God that manufactured their armor and supplied their armor and put their equipment together, will still be able to become victims of demons, will still be able to become victims of unclean spirits? You realize that in warfare in the natural world, the quality of your weapon can go a long way to determine the outcome of a battle, isn't it? For example, the war going on in Europe right now between Ukraine and Russia. You know that Ukraine is no match for Russia, isn't it? By any standard. However, the Russian forces have suffered some casualties, not because they are not a superpower, but because Ukraine is getting some help with supply of armament, isn't it? In fact, I watched a video on YouTube where one of the drones that were supplied to Ukraine spotted a Russian soldier that was alone in a forest trying to do his business. And when they rushed him,
And I was wondering the foolishness of the soldier. Because how far can you run? The drone is just following him. And he kept running and running and ran back to his camp where the rest of his men were. I believe you know the end of the story. That is to tell you, if a man is properly equipped, he should be able to determine the outcome of a war. And then we have Christians whom it was God that manufactured their weapon, armed them unto the fight, and yet they still fall victim. Why is it so? That tells you the level of the intelligence of these disembodied persons. Just like you will naturally expect that Russia, a bigger force, should easily crush Ukraine. But you realize that a foolish mental processing in the mind of one of the Russian army can give small Ukraine a huge advantage. And the guy controlling the drone is probably a teenager. Sit in the comfort of one place obscure and is controlling the drone, and the drone is weaponized, and he just intimidates this guy to make the guy make blunder with his choices. And then all that is on his mind is, hey, see a drone, let me run for my life. And where is he running to? He's running to his camp. And the intelligent guy behind the drone is relaxed, controlling the drone, following the guy until he goes into where the full Russian camp was. And he blasts the entire camp. Exactly. That is how it is. God can arm you unto battle. Like our father was educating us, for example, in the domain of marriage. And one of the spouse can go doing his business somewhere, and the devil will bring a drone. And then instead of having a more tactical sense in managing that drone, he had his rifle, but he was more interested in running. Instead of taking down the drone, you can guide that drone into your family and open a door for the warfare to be occasioned, either in your life or in your home or in your finance or in your destiny. So from tonight, I'd like us to look at some doorways. Because the enemy is not as powerful as we are, but the enemy keeps on undermining a lot of us, because the devil knows that one-on-one, face-to-face, he may not win. So he deploys strategies that gives him advantage over us. So when we are looking at spiritual warfare, it becomes critical for us to look at how some of these warfares are occasioned. How does the enemy get advantage of us? How do this door open and Satan show up in our lives unchallenged? So much so that it looks like there are demons that don't hear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There are three ways I'm hoping we will look at in the course of this review. But out of those three, we'll begin with one tonight and see how far we can go by the help of God. But let me give you those three ways. Number one, violation of divine laws and institutions. Violations of divine laws and divine institutions. That is one major doorway for spiritual battles. Number two, the dynamics of curses. Curses. The opposite of blessing. And then number three, devious demonic institutions. Devious demonic institutions. There are more, but within the time we will have in the course of this review, I'll trust God that we'll look at these things one after the other. But for tonight, let's see how far we can go with the first point, which is violations of divine laws and divine institutions. How does the devil actualize this? If you read the scriptures, you will see that even though spiritual things, supernatural things are a mystery, even though they are elusive, God forbids that his people be ignorant in such matters. So when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will hear Paul saying something very important. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." It's like God is impatient in having his people being ignorant about spiritual things. Once and again, you hear Jesus discussing with his disciples, and he will say, "Do you understand? How can you not understand this?" The issue of understanding is key. It's a major issue in the heart of God. He intends that his people are aware about the dynamics around the supernatural. He is intolerant of it because he doesn't want his children to be vulnerable. So once and again, he makes it so clear the nature of the realm. During the Exodus, you will hear him repeating over and over and over and over that if you obey my laws, I'm going to bless you. I will make you a blessing. You will be above only and never beneath. You will be blessed in your body. You'll be blessed in your basket. You'll be blessed on the field. You'll be blessed at home. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. But if you disobey me, if you violate my laws, you will be cursed. You hear him saying, "I place before you life and blessing, death and a curse. And I am advising that you choose life." You see, he go out of his way to ensure that nobody is ignorant. He makes it very clear what the rules are. He makes it very clear what the institutions are. He makes it very clear what the taboos are. Right from Eden, you see God saying that, "I have given you every plant life, every animal life as your food. But come, let me show you something. You see this tree? This tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat. The day you eat, in dying, you will surely die." How clear can that be? God ensures that there is no room for ignorance about the supernatural. He makes sure of it. And all of this is to ensure that we are never victims. These are ways that God has empowered us in such a way that it is almost impossible for Satan to gain an advantage. But what happens? How does spiritual warfare begin? How does Satan gain an advantage against us? The first one is to bring us to that place where we violate the laws of God. We violate spiritual institutions. We violate things that God had tabooed. But I want you to know that it is not as simple as you think. There is a complex, mind-bending influence that the enemy brings on a man. There is an influence that comes to make men violate the laws of God. Can we have 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30? Let's look at the first influence that makes people violate the laws of God. In 1 Samuel 2:30, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of my father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." What's going on here? This is the story of Eli. Eli came from a family of priests, and as at this time, he was the one in this particular generation that was the high priest. God had made a covenant that is an eternal covenant with his bloodline. And in that covenant, God has said that that bloodline will have a perpetual covenant of priesthood continuity. There will always be a priest in that bloodline. I want you to think about that. This is an utterance from God. The same voice that brought the universe into existence. The same voice that is creative. The same voice that has so much power. The same voice that in Isaiah, the Bible says, his word cannot return to him void. That voice uttered the decree that this bloodline will perpetually stand before me. There will never come to a point in this bloodline that they will not have a covenant with me. That is almost an impossible thing not to happen. But you know what? That same mouth, because some dynamics played out, it uttered another decree and reversed the previous order. You see, in Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should change his mind. But what happened here? Something that God decreed, God got up again and reversed that decree. What has such power to make God change his mind? I want you to know that thing is called taking God for granted. Help me preach it to your neighbor. Taking God's word for granted. That is one sure way of opening a spiritual door for spiritual warfare. The devil knows that God has armed you in such a way that he cannot dare to challenge you. But he's going to find a way to undermine you and bring you down. And one way he's going to achieve it is to bring an influence on you so much that on your own, the word of God doesn't have authority in your life again. And this is the treachery of our generation. We live in a day that the Bible doesn't have authority in the lives of people. We have come to that point where we have gained so much maturity and stature that basic, simple commands of scripture doesn't have authority in our life. What makes people violate the laws of God? What makes people violate divine institution is that influence that brings people to that place where they begin to take the word of God for granted. Where the word of God looks like it's for new converts. No, at the level I am, it can't apply to me. A great man of God that had really bring so much blessing to the body of Christ through worship. I was hearing a very disturbing stories about him in recent years. And one of those days, in the pastor's office in his church, he cornered one sister and slept with her. And afterwards, this was why opening prayer was going on in the hall. After they finished committing adultery, because he's a married man, they were able to wrap up just in time. Prayer, opening prayer had finished. The time for praise and worship gave them enough time to have their time together. And as they were just finishing and cleaning themselves up, the praise and worship was getting to the end. So they both came into the hall, and the man of God sat on his man of God's chair. And few seconds later, he stepped behind the pulpit and began to minister powerfully. And while he was ministering, he was taking a peek at the sister, and he was seeing the sister squeezing her eyes like, what's going on? What's going on? And then after service, he called her. What was all of those stuff you were doing during service? He said, I don't understand. Look at what we just did. And you were still able to come and minister. I don't understand. The man laughed. He said, don't you understand? I am David. You know, David was a great worshiper. So, people like us, we are at another level. Some of those things don't apply to us. This is what happens, that God can make a pronouncement over your destiny. And because you took him for granted, he will come and say, be it far from me. He said, they that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me, I will lightly esteem. The word of God has lost authority over the lives of a lot of people today. We can be awake and aware of a scripture in our mind. The Holy Ghost will bring it loud in our ear. But we are still bent on going ahead in the act of iniquity. In the act of wickedness. Because we believe that that particular scripture, there's another one we can use to cover it down and still go ahead with whatever we want to do. This is one major doorway for spiritual warfare. Undermining and taking for granted the laws of God, the taboos of God, the divine institutions of God. There was a time in your life that an immoral thought floating through your mind can bring you to your knees, and you will cry and lose your peace for a whole week crying in repentance. Now you have gained so much spiritual stature that You can involve in sexual immorality and you will still minister and power will move. You have gone past that level. That was when you were still a babe in Christ. And it's so normal now that when you are talking about the gravity of how God feels about perversion, it's like you are old school. So, what has authority in the lives of people now is everybody is doing it. So, if there's a community of people that are large enough in number practicing that thing, it means that thing, there's nothing wrong with it. You can't come and say you want to change it. Who are you? How far do you think you can go? Almost everybody in ministry is doing this thing. Is it only you that will come and challenge it? So the word of God has no authority again. He said, they that honor me, I will honor them. You see, our father was teaching last night about spiritual warfare in marriage. One major doorway for Satan in homes is when a husband or a wife begins to take the laws of God for granted. Where the word of God cannot restrain you. Earlier in my marriage, there was a season I will never forget. I was having crisis with my wife. I would tell her, this is how I want this thing done. And she will do it the way I say it should not be done. And then I'll say, okay. There were a lot of things I read long before I married. You know, Papa mentioned Tim LaHaye last night. I read a lot of books. And one of those books is a book that educated that communication is the key. Learn to communicate if you want a peaceful home. So I will be so hot that, but I said you shouldn't do this. So I say, but you know, they say communicate. So I will sit her down, get her into the right mood, and explain to her that this really hurt me. Please, let it not be like this again. You know what will happen? That is the only thing that will be, it's like there will be a lesser light focused that this is the thing that has to be done. If this is not done, nothing else. Then I'll come and say, but I said, this should not be done again. And then she will sincerely tell me it wasn't intentional. And I believe her. But after multiple times, I began to think that is it possible for people to be sincere and repeat the same thing? So I say, Kai, all these books we read, it can't work. Because I try communication and then I realize that the communication escalates the problem. Because as I'm trying to use my logic and my cerebral angle to analyze the situation, she's just telling me, no, it's not how I'm thinking it. Then I'll say, what do you mean it's not how I'm thinking it? Is this not true? She'll say yes. Is that not true? She'll say yes. Then it means this is true. She'll say no. I say, Jesus. So a point came, I started becoming very bitter. And you know, for those of us that love scriptures, the moment you are out of alignment, the Holy Ghost will not bring a vision. You will not see a dream. There will be no prophetic insight. It's Bible that will come at you. Because that is what you have stuffed yourself with. So one day, I was just high in the spirit in the tent. And then the scripture say, love your wife and don't be bitter against her. I say, Kai, It's not anywhere in the Bible. I've not seen anything like that. Don't manipulate me. I've read the Bible cover to cover. I didn't see anywhere it said don't be bitter. The thing that's in the Bible is love your wife. Love your wife. That is all. This bitter part is not there. I will try to love her, but with the bitterness. I said, no, it's not in the Bible. All the passages of husband and wife are in Ephesians chapter 5. I know all of them back to back. The Holy Ghost now says, yeah, you know any little thing, you carry your Bible and search. Use the electronic Bible and enter your search engine and search. I just type bitter. That is the only one that came out. In Colossians, I say, Kai, why? What is this? Is there everything that must be in the Bible? Is there before me in Colossians chapter 3. Please help me with that passage. In black and white. Are you helping me or should I find it? Either Colossians 2 or Colossians 3. Somebody help me quickly find it. Alright. Colossians 3:19, yes. Can we read it together? I want to go. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I say, Habba, love is already more than enough burden. So how am I supposed to do this now? Because I have my legitimate reasons why I should be bitter. But if you want the authority of God in your life, if you will not open door for Satan, you will not take the word of God for granted. He said, even though I have said that your bloodline, your family, the order of your priesthood will be before me forever, right now, I change that decree. I reverse that decree. That decree be far from me. He said, for they that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me. If I talk to you and you cannot respect what I tell you, I will lightly esteem. Hallelujah. The open door of taking the word of God for granted has opened the door for Satan in many homes, in many destinies. Even this point, I can't continue. We'll continue tomorrow by God's grace. They that honor me, I will honor. I want you to take a few moments to think about your life. Are there moments in your life where the scripture floats into your mind and you suppress it? It says for new convert. Some people are in, I don't know how they do it. God will bring conviction to their heart. God will bring a rebuke with scripture of a violation in their life. Instead of breaking down and telling God, this thing is hard. Please help me. I want to obey you. Then we brush that direct instruction of scripture aside and use 4-hour prayers to drown it. Not to pray for God to help them, but to pray as an end in itself and continue in that rebellion. I was talking with my younger brother this morning. Someone that is trying to dupe another person. While he's still in the process of duping that person, he's rushing that person that, Kai, I'm running late. I need to go for prayer. He's in the process of duping him. And while the guy is there, I say, no. I need to understand what is going on here. He said, please, hold, let's look. There's no time. I need to go to church. We have prayers. You will go and cancel hours of prayers there. That is the evolution of this generation. Many of us believe that you can use prayer and substitute it for obedience. You forget that thousands of years ago, he said, "Do you think that God is interested in sacrifices and burnt offering?" I want you to be aware that what? Can we read it together? And Samuel said, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Many of us have turned prayer into a sacrifice of rebellion. Rather than doing what the Holy Ghost is convicting you to do, you will corner it aside and cover it with multitudes of prayer, hours of prayer. So in your mind, you can use prayer to bend the hand of God and make him forget about the rebellion you don't want to change. You say, "And to hearken than the fat of rams." Can we rise up tonight? We're going to pray in the next 10 minutes and cry to God. Is there an aspect of your life that you have begin to become dead towards divine instructions? God will lay something on your heart. The Holy Ghost will bring conviction in your heart. A scripture will float into your mind to show you an error. And rather than breaking down in repentance, you go and look for something else that is a spiritual activity and present as sacrifice, and you want it to continue with that rebellion. It's a day that honor me, I will honor. Can you lift your voice tonight as we bring repentance to him? Can we bring repentance tonight? Some of the spiritual battles in our lives are a product of rebellion. Simple biblical truths we ignored, we undermined, we took for granted. We just feel it doesn't matter. God needs to understand. That verse can't really mean what he's saying. It was Jesus that says, and he said it with every sense of gravity, that every idle word that proceeds from our mouth, we will be made to account for it. Can you lift a cry tonight? Just in case there is a warfare in your life, and the door that opened up warfare is because you took the word of God for granted. You treated it with levity. Can you cry to God tonight and bring repentance? "Oh God, we are sorry for taking you for granted. We are sorry. We bring repentance tonight." Can you lift your voice and cry for mercy? It could be an omission. Something God gave you a direct instruction, but somehow you forgot about it. You didn't do what he asked you to do. Can you bring repentance tonight and ask him for mercy? Ask him for mercy. Ask him for mercy. Just in case you are here tonight or you follow us online and you know that you have a conscious partnership with darkness, you know that you are in touch with demons that you operate consciously with, you know that you are in league with Satan, this is your moment. This is where you can cry to God for help. Ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy. Deliverance is available. You carry the image of God. You don't have to serve Satan. You bear the image of God. God has great plans for your life. You can be free. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Tonight is your night. Can you lift a cry before God tonight?
Shata Pante Lebra Santo Lomaraga Labados. Eka Baba Baba Balabados. Eka Baba Balante. Reba Hata Labaragados. Shando Balante. Elambra Balalianto. Rabanta la brega de Galebaraga Labados. Isha Babanta la Rato. Rakamba Hila Baralate. Lord, we bring repentance. We bring repentance. We humble ourselves tonight. We humble ourselves tonight before you. Where we ignored you. Where we took you for granted. We bring repentance, oh God. We ask for mercy. 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 We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. He says, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Can you bring repentance tonight? Because we are going to make war. He said, and you will punish every disobedience when your own obedience is complete. Can we fulfill our quota of obedience tonight by bringing repentance? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I'd like you to pray that every door that has been opened to the enemy on account of taking the word of God for granted, on account of undermining or ignoring the voice of the Holy Ghost that the devil had been using, having repented now, I'd like you to lift your voice and demand that such doors be shut. You have dealt with that legitimate ground. Now can you lift your voice and begin to demand, any door open to Satan in my life, any door open to Satan in my family, any door open to Satan on account of my ignoring and taking the word of God for granted, let it be shut. Let it be shut. Let it be shut. In the name of Jesus, can you lift your voice and pray? Shakabanto kombralata, lando baralate, janta la baraga labadosh, ekanda la baranta liananta, shababanta la braga degale baragadosh, ekada baranta la baraga labadosh, ebalanta la braga degale baraga labadosh. Can you shut such doors? Can you shut such doors? The doors that the enemy have found as a legitimate ground, can you begin to shut them? It might be a door in your finance. You have not been obeying biblical principles around finance. You argue it, you ignore it, and you open the door for the enemy in your finance. Can you begin to shut it tonight? Can you begin to shut it tonight? Can you begin to shut it tonight? It might be a door in your health. You ignore the biblical principle about your body. You went into immorality. You went into sin. And it opened a door against your body to the enemy. Can you begin to shut such doors tonight? Can you make war? Lift your voice and make war against any door open in your life on account of ignoring the voice of God. Manto
Male Combrananto Mandala Baragalabadosh. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you lift your hands wherever you are? Father, tonight, as a people, we have brought repentance before you. In any area of our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our finances, in our body, in our mind, that we opened the door to the enemy, we accepted his lies to undermine your law, to undermine your institutions, to violate and trespass and sin against you, in ignoring you, in not honoring you. Tonight, we plead the blood of Jesus. We ask for mercy. We ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. We confess our sin, such acts of not honoring your word. We renounce it tonight and we ask for mercy. We ask for pardon in the name of Jesus. And tonight, on account of the blood of Jesus, I bring every life here tonight before you. Every life following us online. Every life that will watch this recording later on. We bring everyone to you tonight. And we ask, in any area of their life that the enemy had found a door, let such doors be shut. In the name of Jesus. The door of your finance that Satan had leveraged, tonight let it be shut. In the name of Jesus. That hedge over their family, that hedge over their bodies, that hedge over their mind, that rebellion broke down. Tonight I ask, let there be built back up in the name of Jesus. And so I rebuke Satan tonight over any life, over any family. And I decree, let the operations of darkness cease. I bring an end to the afflictions on their bodies. In the name of Jesus. Any sick body here tonight, any form of disease here tonight, any form of bodily affliction here tonight, be it a disease of the blood, a disease of the bone, a disease of the muscle, a disease of an organ, whatever form of disease tonight, by the tokens of the blood of Jesus, I arrest you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to dry from your root. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every unclean spirit of affliction. I bind you in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I pronounce you every whit whole. I pronounce you be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. I command your finance to be healed. I command your marriage to be healed. I command your mind to be healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated. Hallelujah. We are going to continue tomorrow. As we raise the issues up, we will address them. In the various domains our Father has taken us so far, as we raise the issues, we will be addressing each of those domains. Just in case you came with sickness in your body tonight, I sense a strong healing anointing. You may want to check your body because healing is already taking place. You notice a change in your body, you can wave at me. Let's take your testimonies quickly. You came with a bodily pain, a bodily affliction. You can check your body. If it's something you can check right now, because healing is going on. There are a few of our brethren we want to quickly pray for that are following us online. The technical people are ready. You can bring them up. We'll take them one after the other and see how far we'll go tonight. Brethren following us online, yes, can we have the first person? If you can give us the first person, we'll pray with them, we'll get their challenge, and then we'll pray as a congregation, and then we'll move to the next person. Quickly, can you help us? Help us, our time is running out, so we can do this quickly and then we'll begin to bring the service to a close. Yeah, can we leave that song together?
You are the miracle working God, your name is Yahweh.
One more time.
Your name is Yah. Your name is Yah. You are the miracle. Your name is Yah.
Yeah, can we have Brother Stephen? You can unmute your mic. Yeah. Good evening. Sorry? Oh, okay. Yes.
So my challenge is that if the office are not
All right. Okay. Can the congregation rise up as we stretch our hands? I didn't know there are witches in Dubai. Can we stretch forth our hands towards our brother? Begin to make declarations and bring the covering of the Lord upon his life, upon his walk. Can we begin to bring the covering of the Lord? Let any witchcraft activity around his life be defeated. Let it be defeated. He said, in gathering they will gather, but not by me. Let everyone gathering against our brother Stephen, let them scatter. Let them scatter. Let them scatter in the name of Jesus. We bring you under divine covering. We issue a restraining order against every form of witchcraft. We decree every power, every weapon formed against you, it shall fail. It shall not succeed. It shall not prosper. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you are victorious. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Can we have the next person quickly? Yes, sister, can you unmute your mic? You are live. Yeah, we can see you. All right. Okay. What? What did you say flashed on the screen while you prayed? I didn't get that. Okay. All right. Please, can we rise again? We are going to bring our sisters home before the Lord. And we are going to cry, restore.
Can you lift your voice and begin to cry that word? Let there be a restoration. Can you cry restore tonight? Let that home be restored. Let the enemy be ejected out of that home. Let the enemy be ejected out of that home. Let there be a testimony of restoration. Let there be a testimony of restoration. Let there be a testimony of restoration. Tonight is a night of restoration. As she brings repentance before God, let there be restoration. Let there be restoration. Let there be a visitation on the husband wherever he is. And let there be a restoration. In the name of Jesus, we demand a restoration. We demand that let that new wine, let that fresh wine come alive again in that relationship. Let that home be restored. Let it be healed. Let there be a reuniting of the husband in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke the enemy. We rebuke the devourer. Tonight we decree and declare, let there be a restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated. Quickly, can we have the next person? Yes. Good evening. We can hear you. You can go ahead. Yes. All right. Is that all? Okay. When did your sister's husband pass? Which year was that?
Last year.
Okay.
This March.
All right. Can we rise up? Now there are two issues here. There is the case of a demonic stronghold. Our father gave a teaching when he was doing teaching on warfare on the domain of the mind. He made mention of the reality of a demonic stronghold. Whatever demonic stronghold the enemy had built in the heart of the husband, that is what we are going to address. The second issue is there is a curse, a negative pattern of death that comes to take people out in the line of assignment, in the line of divine assignment. Can you leave these two prayer points before the Lord tonight? Let that curse be judged. Let it be reversed. Let it be reversed. Let that stronghold be cast down tonight. That demonic stronghold that have resisted the husband from pursuing God. Can we lift our voice tonight? Can you decree such stronghold? Let it fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Every thought, every argument that rise up in his heart above the knowledge of God, tonight, take authority over it. Bring it into captivity. Cause that stronghold to be cast down. Let it be cast down. Let it be cast down in the name of Jesus. Let it be cast down. Let it be cast down in the name of Jesus. We arrest that curse of death, that cycle of death that cast men off in the line of duty. Tonight we present the blood of Jesus. And we terminate that cycle. We terminate that cycle. We terminate that cycle. By the blood of Jesus, we judge that cycle. We bring an end to it. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we decree tonight, let a new season open over this home. Let a time of refreshing from your presence come over this family. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Yeah, can we have the next person? You may be seated briefly. Good evening. Yes, we can hear you. So there's warfare in her finance. Now, as we pray these prayers, it's also very important that the instructions that are coming, whichever applies to you that suggests an area of open door to the enemy, it's very, very important that you write those areas. Because for these prayers to be effective, it's very important that there are no violations in the area of your covenant with God in that area of finance. Make sure you are not violating a biblical principle. Can we, the church, rise up as we lift our sister before the Lord? Sorry, she wants to say something. Can you unmute your mic? All right. We'll chat with you after the service. All right? But make sure you are faithful in your tithes and any other financial covenant of scripture. All right? All right. Can we begin to pray for our sister? That warfare in her finance, can you shut it against the enemy? Whatever opening in her life that the enemy is using to resist her finance, can you shut that door? In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and shut that door in the area of finance that the enemy is using to plunder her and bring dryness. Tonight we shut it. We expel the enemy and we shut the door in the name of Jesus. Can you also lift your voice and pray that God will open a door of blessing, a door of favor, a door to our finance. Let there be an open door of favor. Thank you, Holy Father. We decree that it is done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Can we have the next person? Yeah, sister, you can go on. Sorry, we can't hear you. It's like the network has some challenge. Okay, while she works on her network, can we have the next person? Yes. Unmute your mic so we can hear you. Yes. Yeah. You are live. Yes, continue. Can we rise up? Now there are two three issues we are going to be addressing in the life of our brother. The first issue is there is witchcraft that inhibits and resists his desire to press into God. We are going to break that resistance around his life. And we are going to ask that let the heaven open over his life. Let him find access and penetration as he pursues God. Can you lift your voice tonight? Let every form of witchcraft resistance, let them fall. Let them fall. Let them fall. We break the influence of witchcraft. We break the influence of witchcraft over your life. We decree, let every such negative influence that resists your desire for God, let them begin to break. Every cloud of influence, every negative influence of witchcraft, tonight we command it to break.
We command it to break. We command it to break in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, give him access. It is written, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is access. There is liberty. Tonight, let that access open over your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Take your seat one moment as we take the next person quickly. Yes. Can we have the next person? Good evening. Yes. All right. You say you are in Lagos? Are you in touch with our platform in Lagos? Okay. All right. I would recommend that you do well to see our point man in Lagos, Reverend Austin Opore. But we are going to pray for you tonight. Can we rise up? We are going to lift this family before God. There is a negative cycle of stagnation. There is a spirit of reproach. I'd like us to stretch forth our hands tonight and begin to address that demonic influence. I like us to make war with the blood of Jesus. That whatever legitimate ground responsible for this stagnation, whatever argument against this family, can we plead the blood of Jesus? Can we plead the blood of Jesus? Whatever case is used against them, the Bible says, having forgiven all trespasses and sins, the Bible says, every of the argument, he nailed it to the cross, he took it out of the way. And by that he spoiled principalities and powers and make a public show of them. Can you plead the blood of Jesus against this demonic cycle, this demonic stagnation? Let that cycle break. We command that cycle to break tonight. We command that cycle to break tonight. We decree a new season over this family. We decree a new season over this home. We decree a new day. We decree that let there be a time of refreshing from the presence of God. Let the atmosphere of heaven be ushered into this family. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated. Can we take the last person for the night? All right. Let's have our sister again. Pray that her network gets better this time. Okay, can you drop your glasses and place your hands on both eyes that hurt? As the church rise up, can you stretch forth your hands towards her? It is written, He took our sicknesses, He took our diseases. It is written, by His stripes we were healed. By His stripes we were healed. Can you begin to command that eye to be healed? Command that eye to be healed. Command that eye to be healed. Jesus has paid for that eye. Jesus paid for those eyes. Jesus paid for those eyes. Can you demand that those eyes be healed right now? I will command you to see in the name of Jesus. We command you to see in the name of Jesus. We command you to see in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated. Hallelujah. Sister, can you check those eyes? Can you check those eyes and give us feedback on the condition of the eyes? Okay. Still blurry? Okay, can you place your hand on it one more time? Lord, we ask that you perfect that healing. Tonight, we ask that you perfect that healing in the mighty name of Jesus. This very night, we ask, let that healing be made perfect. Let there be 2020 vision. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Can we celebrate Jesus tonight? Make it louder.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.